Blog Talk Radio.
It's DVD review night tonight on Movie Geeks United, so grab the popcorn, settle in, and get your geek on. Movie Geeks United is coming up next. This is Movie Geeks United, a special extra episode this week. This is our DVD review show, and we have our home entertainment correspondent with us, Mr. Aaron Ottadias. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up?
Some good titles out and some exciting news, actually, we wanted to top off the show with here concerning Paramount, right?
Yes, that is correct. As we've been doing, I've been part of the show going on. A little over a year now. Almost a year and a half. And whenever we've done these home entertainment discussions, and a title from Paramount Studios has come up, I've become a broken record in saying that Paramount is probably the or second to worst when it comes to their handling their home entertainment catalog. You know, my stock line is if it isn't Friday the 13th or Star Trek, they really don't care. They very little extras, very little anything. They don't really take full advantage of the home entertainment, stream
format. Yeah.
You know, they are kind of the antithesis of Warner Brothers, if you will. It's kind of the gold standard for major studios.
Which has really been a shame since they have such an incredible library of product.
They do. I mean, they have one of the biggest libraries you can possibly imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, and they weren't always like this. Back in the Laserdisc era, they were pretty top of the line stuff, but something got lost. Well, as we all know from earlier this week, a change is going to come. It looks like Paramount has starting to put their best foot forward. And that starting this just last month in December, they launched what they called their Centennial Collection. And these are very handsome two-disc sets of their vintage films and loaded them with extras and good transfers and good sound quality. And I feel that this is a harbinger of things to come, at least I hope anyways. They're very selective, kind of a la Criterion. It's not a deluge of titles with this Centennial Collection slapped onto it. It seems to be about maybe three titles a month at the most is what it seems like, and they really go all out. December saw Sabrina and Sunset Boulevard and Roman Holiday, and this month saw Breakfast at Tiffany's. And these are very good, very good transfers, excellent transfers, good sound. And the extras are really good. And some of the best extras that are new to the set are what they call Beyond the Gates. And what it is going back to, going into the archives of the Paramount Studios of when they were making these films. And really, going into whether it's the fashion in something like Breakfast at Tiffany's, the photography, or just Audrey Hepburn and her period at Paramount, and it's just remarkable stuff that Paramount's doing. And of these Centennial Collections, they're all worth picking up, but I have a soft spot for Billy Wilder. So the Sabrina one, in particular the Sunset Boulevard one, is a must pick up. I will say the one caution caveat, obviously these are DVDs, these aren't Blu-rays. So one would think that, eventually probably some of this will be sent out on Blu-ray, but that has not been that is not on the schedule in the near future. So at this moment, this is the really the top of the line stuff that Paramount is putting out.
Now, do you have a wish title or a wish list looking over Paramount's library?
Paramount's
you'd
library?
You'd want to see.
I
put you on the spot.
Yeah, you put me on
or,
the spot.
Or anyone's library. I mean,
anyone's library. Well, I mean, don't have to worry about Paramount or Fox, but you know, some of the Universal, you know, they really like to package their classic horror stuff every few
right.
years, and that's fine. But I think time has come for that stuff to find to get on the Blu-ray format. And so
mm-hmm.
that, you know, that's what I'm waiting for.
So you're talking about the Frankensteins and the Draculas.
Yeah,
and
the Frankensteins, the Draculas, and so forth. And, you know, in Paramount in the 70s, you know, was, you know, the you know, Paramount and Warner Brothers were kind of the shining lights of 70s cinema. Anyone who, you know, saw, you know, the Robert Evans documentary, The Kid Stayed in the Picture, knows this, that, you know, from about 1967 on, you know, to the close of the decade, you know,
mm-hmm.
Paramount was pretty, not only in prestige films, but in commercial films. And
yeah.
so they're pretty.
I do have a Paramount title.
Go ahead.
That would be on my special remastered all extras to the hilt edition. And that would be McCabe and Mrs. Miller.
That would be pretty.
That would be Warner Brothers, though, wouldn't it?
No. That isn't, I don't think that's Warner Brothers. I think that might actually be. I think you might actually be right. I think it might actually be Paramount. I know, for example, I do know that Nashville is
right.
Paramount,
mm-hmm.
and so you know that got a nice, decent release. But you know, especially since the passing of Altman, that
mm-hmm.
Blu-ray release will probably that should be turned into something truly. Special and
yeah.
But speaking of Paramount and Blu-ray for a second, that's the other big news is that Paramount is really putting forth an effort to do their I guess you could say their more recent catalog of films, you know, 70s and 80s and some of the more I guess you say pop classics, and they're bringing those out on Blu-ray. And Paramount, I will say that they might not have until recently gone in. All in for the bells and whistles, but they were pretty leader of the pack, you know, like Warner Brothers when it came to transfers,
mm-hmm.
and their releasing of recent catalog classics on Blu-ray is pretty also another good sign of things to come. And two titles I do want to mention, they're putting out like the Centennial Collection, you know, a handful of these are coming out each month. December saw Into the Wild, saw Days of Thunder, Days of Thunder is a demo disc on Blu-ray, and
mm-hmm.
The Truman Show, you know, which is a great, you know, great Peter Weir film. But just this recently, in the last, I guess, couple of weeks, well, coming up actually this coming Tuesday, we will see the debut of a film we never tired of talking about here on Movie Geeks United, and that's David Fincher's Zodiac.
Oh, yeah.
Which they've, you know, they repurposed the special edition director's cut two-disc DVD onto Blu-ray. And so now, for your true, you know, if you really are a, you know, into the technology and all that stuff, here is the truly the final word on Zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
So it's finally
and
out.
And you set a release on that? When?
It's this Tuesday, the 27th.
This Tuesday.
Okay. And so, won't have to pick it up, again, you know, as long as I live. So Zodiac on Blu-ray is pretty spectacular. And then the other, I think, really fine transfer that they did, and really nice expansion of the soundtrack, upgrading the Blu-ray, is Ghost,
uh-huh.
which. I've always been an ardent defender of Ghost from 1990, and so I was really pleased to see this brought out on Blu-ray. And it is an interesting and Ghost on Blu-ray does point up a certain an interesting thing in that it looks perfect. It's as best as this movie's gonna get look. particularly the night scenes, which Ghost, people may not remember, had a lot of night scenes, a lot of dark scenes, a lot of night scenes, and looks amazing on Blu-ray. The one would say the downside to a Blu-ray of Ghost, I don't see it as a downside, I see it as kind of endearing in a weird way, is the visual effects. You are going to see the themes on the Blu-ray,
right?
Particularly the you know the demons, you know when they come to take your soul, you're really going to see the themes of the very early. You know this is pre Jurassic Park, this is pre Terminator 2, just you know 1 year literally after The Abyss. So I mean they're really still just you know tipping the toe in the water of. Special effects.
I so remember that the season of Ghost and how huge it was and how now it's funny that it's coming out now. How now it has an extra kind of relevance or extra kind of haunting quality to it.
Obviously.
Yeah,
obviously.
Yeah.
Well, what was interesting, and I'm sure you remember this, Jamie. I remember this. And I was thinking about it when I was watching it. The summer of 1990. You know, the big summer tent films were, you know, in May you had the conclusion of the Back to the Future series, which in a weird way, coming in the summer of 90, was almost like one of those final death knells of the 80s, if you will. And then you had your Schwarzenegger movie, which was Total Recall, which was a big blowout. And then your other big, you know, the film that everyone was clamoring for, the 4th of July release, was actually Die Hard 2.
Right.
And then Ghost comes on the screen, and I, you know, it was a supernatural romance, you know, and it had, but it didn't have, it. You know, at the time I remember glibly people, you know, kind of, I remember people I talked to, like, oh, that's the film starring Bruce Willis's wife. You know, it was referred to as that, or, you know, or, you know, Swayze, is he finally going to, you know, do another good film since Dirty Dancing? You know, so it didn't have, you know, it didn't have the stars, if you will. And then in that first weekend, it did well. But there was a true word-of-mouth phenomenon.
Yeah, it fits the category of a sleeper, I mean, to the hilt. I mean, it snuck up and really took hold of the culture, and people were moved by it. So the Ghost is the same day as Zodiac? Or?
Ghost actually came out about 2 weeks ago. So that is now out in stores. And so of this wave of Paramount Blu-rays, if you will, all, you know, going, you know, side by side with these Centennial Collection DVDs, of these waves of Paramount Blu-rays of back catalog titles, I think the best that I've seen have been Zodiac and Ghost. Two diametrically different films. One actually ends in hope, and the other one doesn't. I'll let you decide which one's which.
So, and the Zodiac has exactly what the other one had.
Had exactly what the other one had, but if everyone remembers, you know, Fincher being Fincher, the film was shot in high def video.
Uh-huh.
Film was shot on high def, and the extras were shot on high def. So even when you got the DVD, it was a high def transfer, but it was down converted to regular, you know, DVD, projection. But now
right,
with
right,
Blu-ray,
right.
You're actually going to get the full tilt boogie of
the true. So since Blu-ray holds more information, is it a single disc?
It is a single disc.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that comes out this Tuesday. Zodiac, all the special features that you love from the standard definition, and here's a little listen to Zodiac.
Dear editor, this is the murderer of the two teenagers last Christmas at Lake Herman and the girl on the 4th of July.
I want you to print this cipher on the front page of your paper.
He wants his code in the afternoon edition.
Ray Smith, don't you have a cartoon to finish?
The Zodiac Killer has come to San Francisco.
Another letter. School children make nice targets.
He gave himself a name.
Greek, Morse code, astrological signs.
This guy's used them all.
I like killing people because man is the most dangerous animal of all.
How does one do that?
I like puzzles. I do them a lot.
Got any hard suspects?
About 90 an hour. I'm up to around 500.
You got 4 crime scenes. Not a single usable print. You can't think of this case in normal police terms.
He's breaking the pattern.
Lena said you were a cartoonist.
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing at a gun range?
I just want to help.
What are you, some kind of Boy Scout?
Eagle Scout. Actually, first class. Oh, I've been thinking.
Oh, God, Sam, listen.
There's no evidence, Robert. What do you mean there's no evidence? You have him seen with the ciphers, the military blueprints, the bloody knife.
All circumstantial.
Why do you need to do this?
Because nobody else will.
Dave, you made a mistake!
Get away from the window.
Paul, are you okay?
No.
Why'd you do it? You put your face out there for him to see.
Hello? Who is this?
Zodiac was my job. It is not yours. He's still out there, Dave.
Killing is his compulsion. It drives him. It's in his blood.
Jeez.
What?
Squirrels.
This is the Zodiac speaking.
I have a gun. I can give you a lift to the service station.
Did you always go around helping people in the night?
I'm not the Zodiac. And if I was, I certainly wouldn't tell you.
Are you sure there's nobody else in the house?
Yeah, Zodiac, good movie. Great film.
The anti-Benjamin Button.
Yeah, it is surprising that Benjamin Button came out of Fincher.
Yeah.
Very pleasing and surprising.
Yeah.
McCabe and Mrs. Miller, as we were mentioning earlier, is that is actually Warner Brothers. I looked it up, and speaking of Warner Brothers, we have some new Warner Brothers titles to review. Yeah, they have an exciting lineup of films. Really attractive packaging they have, Warner Brothers. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I like their packages here. We got Rock and Rolla, the new Guy Ritchie film.
Which must be said with a British accent.
Yeah, well, you try that.
I can't.
Yeah.
I already have a Hispanic accent, so I can't do more than one. but you're the thespian of the group. You can try it. So, yes, Guy Ritchie's Rock and Rolla, which, I must say, easily Guy Ritchie's best film,
yeah,
in my view. And more interesting in that last year when it came out, last October, there was a good 2 month and change period, September, October, and probably up until the middle of November, where Rock and Rollin' was actually one of the best films of the fall.
Yeah.
That is not to take anything away from Rock and Rollin', but that does seem to highlight just how front-loaded the holiday season was, finally, with decent films, that the fall was kind of filled with disappointments or underachievers, that Rock and Rolla was truly one of the best things I saw for about 2-3 months. And
yeah.
It's a Guy Ritchie film in that it's London under, you know, the London underworld, gangsters, rock and roll, double crosses, triple crosses, but for the first time, in my view, there is something at stake in these films. I think earlier Ritchie films, particularly Snatch, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, which I do like, they were all kind of fun little jack-in-the-box toys, where Rock and Roll actually does have some humanity and some wit, and like I said, there's some real danger in that film. It's just remarkable stuff, to the point that I really can't wait for his Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, I think he can do something special with that. This is your you know, it's kick-ass Guy Ritchie, frenetic. It's got great performances in it. Some roles in here that previously very distinguished stars can really really sink their teeth into. People like Tom Wilkinson and Thandi Newton. But
Wilkinson really, really does steal. I remember Wilkinson. He does steal the show.
Yeah,
he's really, really good. And also, if I remember correctly, Ludacris and Idris Elba—they're a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, there's some casting in the film that if you were to read it, and I'm sure a lot of people, when they did read it, they thought it was stunt casting. But it wasn't, it turned out. Every little character, even, you know, a character for two scenes, Ritchie's writing has gotten so well that you did feel like you were seeing a three-dimensional person, like they had a life before they came on screen. And that maturity comes with, you know, doing, you know, writing and directing, you know, for a period of time and learning what works and what doesn't and just, you know, life experiences. And so I think, obviously, Ritchie has been in the news this past year, and he's not the same type of filmmaker that he was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. In the special features, he does do commentary on it with the co-star of the film, Mark Strong. There's a deleted scene, and there's a little documentary in there where Guy Ritchie talks about his views of London, where he prefers to shoot. And excuse me. You can purchase this disc. It comes out in stores January 27th, which is Tuesday. You can purchase it by clicking the icon there on the home page. It's if you like balls to the walls, great snazzy characters, and great action, this is the movie for you.
And you vouch for the DVD. I vouch, obviously, for the Blu-ray, which is what I got.
Yeah.
So it's terrific stuff there.
Okay, here's a little taste of rock and roll.
Troubled rock star Johnny Quid is missing, assumed dead.
Are Johnny?
If he's dead, that's the first time this year.
I'm Dead Pete. Dead people don't like company.
Who's got that painting? One name.
Johnny Quid.
How can a dead man sell you a painting? That's a nice painting, Yuri.
It's a very rare and expensive painting.
Take it for a walk. Maybe it will give you luck.
Pete, where's the painting?
Archie, I've been robbed.
That's his favourite painting. His lucky painting.
The area covers 12 acres, and it will become one of London's premier residences.
You've got to watch yourself with this lot. Times are changing. They ain't no respecters of the old school.
What's it going to cost me?
7 million euros.
I need another 7 million euros.
7 million.
It's a little bit heavier than it looks on a calculator, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, where is it? Look at that, we can make a team.
Johnny, come back home.
Lucky, but no touchy.
Don't hurt me, Archie. I'm only little.
Archie, slap him. Send him to school, because I can't take no more of this.
If a slap don't work, you cut him or you pay him. But you keep the receipts, because this ain't the mafia.
He tried to poison me, the dirty Cossack.
We're gonna take care of them.
What do you think we are? Gangsters?
You're a car real.
Rock and roller.
Rock and roller.
Rock and roller.
Rock and roller.
Scary, ain't it?
All right, Rock and Roller out Tuesday the 27th. The same day as another. Go ahead, man.
I do want to vouch, as you get to hear from that clip, it also has probably one of the best compilation soundtracks from last year. That first song, that second song there is called Be My Rock and Roll Queen. The first song in the opening of that trailer kind of give it that momentum is a song called it's a cover of I'm a Man, the Bo Diddley Muddy Waters standard by a group called Black Strobe, and it's a really terrific cover. So Rock and Roller has obviously had one of the best soundtracks of last year.
Another Warner Brothers release on the 27th is an Edward Norton, Colin Farrell, John Voight family cop drama thriller called Pride and Glory. It's making its DVD debut. Now, did you see this in the theaters, or did you wait until you got
it? I did see it in the theaters. It's actually, I thought it was actually underrated. Has a terrible title, although when you see the film, the title does make sense and it is explained. But it's a very generic title. I remember there was a someone once pointed out to me when the movie was coming out. They're like, "Wasn't that a Kimmy Smith movie?" I think that was
it sounds like a sports movie. I mean,
I looked it up. There was a Jimmy Smith's movie, I guess, 5-6 years ago called Pride and Hope, I think, or Hope and Glory. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it's one of those titles. But this film, directed by Gavin O'Connor, who directed his first film and one of my favorite films from 1999, which was we all know is a landmark year, called Tumbleweeds. The great performance by Janet McTeer. And he's done movies since then, and he's done a couple of inspirational films. He did the movie Miracle with Dennis Quaid about the American U.S. Hockey team and so forth, which is actually a good sports film. But this is a grittier film, and actually has one of the better Edward Norton performances of the last 5 years. I'm on record as saying that Edward Norton has kind of been underwhelming since he did The 25th Hour, the Spike Lee film, which was in 2002, and that whenever he tries to do kind of one of these aristocratic costume dramas like The Painted Veil or The Illusionist, his Yale acting school roots come through, especially when he tries to do an accent. And here he plays something a little more contemporary, and I think that's when he shines the best. Shines as an actor, and Colin Farrell is very good as what starts off as kind of your generic one note bruiser, corrupt cop. But as the film goes on, he reveals some layers to him, and that make the character more tragic than anything. And to me, the best thing in the film is its final act, where the threads start to come together, and then something happens in the story. An incident happens that causes a lot of mayhem that you don't see coming. And I think that's a great, that really ratchets up the tension in the film. And it's a good, and it's a good restraint performance by John Voight. Hadn't seen a restraint performance by John Voight since Anaconda, I think.
It's a strong movie, and it was really in its theatrical run. I think it was very kind of abused and truncated its release. So now it gets it shot at some Pride and Glory on DVD. You like that? You like that?
I think we should note that one of the reasons it is interesting to note that it's being put out by Warner Home Video, and I think one of the reasons that it finally got released and unceremoniously released is that this was one of those things they had to get off the books when New Line was shutting down. This and Appaloosa was another one, although Appaloosa did a little better, if I know my numbers correctly. But this was one of those things that, because of that New Line shutting down, kind of got lost in the New Line reshuffling, if you will.
Right. This does contain a comprehensive documentary on the making of it, and it's available Blu-ray and standard def. And both of these discs come with the option of buying a 2-disc set with a digital copy.
Ooh. Okay.
How can you resist that?
I can't resist it. I'm trying.
Yeah. These are two very strong releases, and I'm sure they'll be popular on DVD. Here's Pride and Glory.
Becoming a cop, the pledge we took to uphold something honest. We let it all out from under us. I was a good man once.
I'm writing a story. A real detective captures killer.
Called a lucky break. Nothing
lucky about it.
You have the instinct for it. You have the talent for it.
When we were kids, all we ever talked about was being cops.
My kids. Most important thing in the world.
I love you, Ray.
We've got
four cops down, two dead, two likely.
Four cops died here, Raymond. There's no blame in this. It's not a damn thing any one of us could have done. Now, the men who were killed were under your brother's command. You know the neighborhood's up and down. Yes?
Yeah, I worked those streets, Pop. So what?
You want me to spell it out for you, Raymond? Feingold killed our guys.
And how you figure this went down? I mean, our guys go in, and the whole thing touches off, and you got a lot of firing, very close quarters. So that shooter, whoever he was no amateur. I have not shared this around. I talked to this broad, Lisette. She says it was a cop.
My guys were doing something. I didn't know about it, trust me. You start looking for loose ends where your brother's boys are concerned. Where's that gonna fall?
Now what is going on here?
We sold our shields off, highest bidder.
I didn't know they'd die.
You got anything you want to say to me? What do you think is gonna happen here? Do you think we're gonna go in the basement with Pop and smooth this over?
All you gotta do is say what needs to be said. End story. Be smart. They were protecting their own and they were burying the truth.
Don't talk to me about the truth. You got no idea what it takes to do what we do.
And your brother is in a bad hour here, and the only way through this is you.
I've done your kind of loyalty, and it cost me too much.
What did it cost you, Ray?
It cost me everything.
What are you gonna do, Ray? What are you gonna do?
Okay, Pride and Glory out in stores Tuesday the 27th, or you can click the icon on the homepage to go right to the Amazon.com site where you can purchase it yourself. That's just the beginning of the Warner Brothers titles, too, by the way.
Hearing that makes you want to yell out, go home.
Let's talk a little...
For the three Copland fans out there, they'll get that.
Yeah, that's about how many there are. Let's talk about Bing there. It's a deluxe edition from Warner Brothers. Bing there... Bing, the Hal Ashby film from 1980, I believe. If you remember, it was a Peter Sellers kind of labor of love. This was a dream part for Peter Sellers, and he was up against De Niro for Raging Bull that year at the Oscars. A Hal Ashby film, maybe the last great Ashby film.
It was the last great Ashby film. Unfortunately, the last 6-8 years of his life were didn't produce the best work. I mean, 8 Million Ways to Die had some scuzzy, grit to it, and his Rolling Stones concert, 70mm concert film, has some wonderfully gay overtones to it, but Being There was his last masterpiece.
Yeah, and it's, if you know anything about Ashby, it's always surprising to find how gentle this movie is. I mean, I know he was a very emotional man, and he had a lot of demons that he dealt with, but this is a very kind of very gentle, delicate, warm movie, Being There is. Peter Sellers plays a slow-witted gardener, an older man that lived with his family his whole life, and the family dies away, and he's left with no place to go. And it's like a fable. He's picked up by a wealthy man and his wife, and they're friendly with the president, and he gets to know the president, and it's by speaking to certain people take him as a really kind of and a revolutionary kind of thinker by very simple things that he says. It's one of the most amazing closing shots in any movie as well. It's an extraordinary movie. This disc has a featurette that's brand new, where the surviving stars reminisce on the project. It's a great DVD release. I mean, it needs to be in your library, I think. Just one of those essential movies from the past 30 years that you gotta have, and it's a defining Peter Sellers performance, I think.
Well, and it's interesting. I guess you can say the film that preceded it that had a sort of a influence on it is obviously Network. Obviously,
yeah.
It's not as biting as Network or not as savage as Network, but it does have a, you could say, a gently brutal critique of television. And then it's, you could say, it's the offspring of being there, some would say, is Forrest Gump.
Right.
To a certain extent. So I
right.
think for people who've never seen Being There, when they see it, they're going to realize that there is a that, you know, the influence of Being There has been around for about 4 to 30 years. It's been around, and they may not, whatever what they feel is you know, something wholly original. I think they're going to have a moment of shock when they realize, oh, Being There probably inspired this and this.
Yeah.
Even
I'm
Benjamin
telling
Button.
You,
Benjamin
yeah.
Button. Yeah. I mean,
it feels very much like that in its tone. But I'm telling you, this last shot, it's just one of the great last shots. And it kind of makes you rethink the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it stays with you. It's just one of the most magical endings for a movie. And that comes out February 3rd from Warner Brothers video, home video. And it's a great release. I would strongly recommend buying it for anyone out there that isn't aware of kind of the feeling of Being There. Here's a little taste of it.
I'm Chance, the gardener.
The gardener?
Yes. Since I was a child, I've worked in this garden.
Then you really are a gardener?
Oh, yes.
May I ask your name?
Gardner.
Mr. Chancy Gardner, are you related to Basil and Perdita Gardner?
No, I'm not related to Basil and Perdita.
Gobbledygook.
You know, Chauncey, there's something about you. You don't play games with words to protect yourself.
I had no brains at all. The stuff with rice pudding between the ears.
On television, Mr. President, you look much smaller.
Dumb as a jackass.
As long as the roots are not severed, all is well. And all will be well in the garden.
In the garden. Coffin, a lease of information on Mr. Chauncey Gardner's background.
What do you mean he's got no background? That's impossible.
Listen to that boy.
Mr. Gardner, the New York Times spoke of your peculiar brand of optimism. What was your reaction to that?
I do not know what it means.
Oh, he was very clever, keeping it at a third grade level. That's what they understand. He's very, very sexy. But I think he's brilliant. I raised that boy.
It's always somewhat surprising to find men like yourself working so intimately with the president and yet somehow managing to remain relatively unknown.
Yes, it is surprising.
And look at him now.
I can't write.
Oh, I heard he speaks 8 languages.
I can't read. I like to watch TV.
All you gotta be is white in America to get whatever you want.
I understand.
Being There, made in the USA.
I thought that was so odd. The ending of that, that's the original trailer. Made in the USA.
Hal Ashby did love these little non sequitur jokes too.
Yeah,
in everything he did.
So that's you got a full like week and a half heads up on that film. February 3rd, you go out and buy it. Next on the Warner Brothers list, You're a Good Sport, Charlie Brown, which as a kid I didn't watch a lot of kid things, so. I feel kind of like I didn't conduct the childhood that most people did. But as I understand it, this is a very kind of in-demand program I've seen a lot of comments on the net, on YouTube clips and such, that talk about, you know, all I have of this movie is a worn out VHS or, you know, what have you, or something I recorded off of TV. So this is your chance to get a special edition DVD. This is also from Warner Brothers. It's got special features on it, including another story featuring the gang, You're the Greatest, Charlie Brown, and all new featurettes. There are two of them on here. What inspired the special, and it has something to do with Charles Schulz's his son. But most of all, it's just if this meant something to you as a child, or you believe it might mean something to your children now, pick it up, and it's going to be available for you. Let me get the release date on that. I'll look that up real quick. You know, that's a bonus. That's a bonus program too. A bonus peanuts. Bonus peanuts program. You're the Greatest, Charlie Brown.
Careful how you say that.
Yeah, I know, especially. I'm talking about a children's program. Yeah. I'll check the release date on this real quick. You had another one that you want to talk about?
Well, since we're getting into television here, and it's interesting, the titles I have on television, I think they represent the two operating tiers of TV on DVD. And from Warner Brothers, the titles that I got, their TV titles, I got... talk about casting a wide net. I got the latest volume of The Adventures of Super Friends, which if anyone doesn't remember, and I used to watch this when I was a kid back in like, you know, when I was like 5 or 6. And these originally came out in the 70s, but, you know, they ran forever and ever. And this is The Adventures of Super Friends, which was, who was it? It was Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Robin, Aquaman, and all of the... Hall of Justice and going on their little adventures, and they had the narrator telling you the beginning. It's kind of funny watching these. The narrator told you at the beginning what each superhero's adventure was going to be. Superman and Aquaman are fighting off the Sea Mariner. Wonder Woman is off on an island fighting, you know, another creature. Meanwhile, Batman and Robin will be dueling it out. So they would tell you this before the credits would come, and then each little adventure had their own little, like, 8-minute segment, and the narrator basically narrated the action. Batman and Robin are off to fight the Sea Mariner. You know, and then they show a little clip of Batman flying, Aquaman swimming. When they get there, they meet the, you know, so it's very permanent, but, I mean, for some reason, it's very captivating. The colors are bright, all the blues, the oranges, the you know, gotta love the animated Wonder Woman. She was full-breasted. Lovely. Nothing like 70s animation. And Batman and Robin and so forth, or the ambiguously gay duo, however you want to label them. So this is out in a volume on from Warner DVD. And also... the other volume, TV on DVD I got was the complete second season of Night Court, which has on 3 discs all 22 episodes of the second season, which was 84 to 85. And just, you know, back when the show was really, the second to the fifth season is really when Night Court was at its peak in the ratings and in its comedy writing and so forth. And what's interesting to me about these TV on DVDs is that vintage stuff like this, you know, there is a high demand for this stuff. And so it's put out on this where you get these, you know, all the episodes uncut, but no extras. And then on the other hand, from Paramount Home Video, they just put out Dexter, the complete first season, on Blu-ray, which has commentaries, featurettes, everything. And they've gone, you know, all out for that title, which is terrific. So TV operates, seems, on two different tracks, if you will, that, you know, people, there's always, there's a demand for television on DVD, but there's a certain, the more modern the show, the more likely you're going to get some, you know, the bells and whistles. More or less, more cinematic the show,
right,
the more you're going to get bells and whistles. The more traditional the show is, like a Night Court, which is, you know, shot on video, 22 minutes, each was a self-contained story, if you will. You know, that's all you really want. So
right.
I find it kind of interesting on these. It's just an interesting observation on the way the TV on DVD marketplace is right now.
Right. It might be a generational thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Where these works now, like Dexter, are being produced in the DVD generation.
That is also very true.
Yeah, and they kind of, you know, people like that shoot all the extras for their, you know, when they're shooting their movie, they know what's going on the disc. There are directors that do that. They shoot things especially for the DVD release.
That is true. I think the more cult-oriented the show is, the more, you know, you're going to get bells and whistles. Obviously,
right.
You know, reports are coming out. You know, the first season of the original Star Trek is finally coming out on Blu-ray this year. And, you know, so that's going to have bells and whistles. But that has a cult,
oh yeah,
you know, demand. It has to have bells and whistles. But, I mean, you know.
People would be picketing if that didn't have anything
extra.
Right. Your good sport, Charlie Brown, comes out Tuesday as well. It's a big day for Warner Brothers this Tuesday and next. So
and Dexter, the Blu-ray complete first season, that is already out in stores, while Night Court and the Super Friends volume, Night Court complete second season, that came out just this past Tuesday.
Okay.
So those are in stores.
Let's talk about this new film. I think this comes out February 10th from Sony Pictures Classics. That's Frozen River, which just this week has been getting a lot of play because if you read any critics, their takes on the Oscar nominations this week, the most pleasant surprise for most of them is the fact that this movie, Frozen River, a little independent labor of love, is very well represented at the Oscars this year, the category of Best Actress for Melissa Leo, clearly one of the most acclaimed performances of the year. And for its writer-director, Courtney Hunt, in the screenplay category. It is available on the 10th, and I think these Oscar nominations are great for movies like this that need that push. And a DVD release just on the cusp of that is very smart. People will take it home, sit with it in an intimate setting, you know, an engrossing kind of character study, and also very thrilling as well. It's a nail-biting a movie. And it's anchored by a very strong, brave, really naturalistic performance by all accounts. That's Frozen River. Here's a trailer of Frozen River.
Where's Daddy?
Probably in Atlantic City by now. Gambling away the money for our house.
Aren't we even going to look for him?
What are you doing with my car?
Had the keys in it. The guy driving it got on a bus. I got a friend who might buy that.
Not for sale.
He's a smuggler. He'll pay more than it's worth.
I'm not driving just anybody across the border. It's a crime.
There's no border here. This is free trade between nations.
About the border patrol.
They're not going to stop you. You're white.
This is about the woman that was with you. She's known to have brought illegal aliens into the country.
You can't come up with the cash. You have lost your $1,500 deposit.
I can get a job, you know.
You're going to school. I just need one more run to get the double. And then I'm out of this.
There's only 600 here.
You want to make a change now?
I want the rest. You're gonna get us all killed.
I don't want any trouble from him, Lila. We have a situation with a couple of smugglers.
Did they do something?
I'm just directing you to step out of the vehicle.
Troopers want somebody.
My kid's got no one but me.
What are you gonna do?
I didn't know any other way to get together.
Frozen River, February 10th is when that comes out. It has extras on it, including a commentary with director Courtney Hunt and producer Heather Ray. That's the extra on it. So if you want to catch up on your Oscar roster this year, that's essential viewing because that's it's up for some big categories this year.
And I will be interviewing Courtney Hunt, writer-director Courtney Hunt, Oscar-nominated writer Courtney Hunt, on an upcoming episode of my show, Back by Midnight.
What, do you know the date of that yet?
It is tentative of February 5th, so on the eve of the DVD release.
Awesome, awesome. So everybody can get their Frozen River here on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Before we get to Anchor Bay, did you have anything further to discuss?
No, just like I said, you know, it's kind of weird. You know, it's this period, this January February period, is interesting in that it's usually a dead zone at the theaters, but ironically, DVD wise. It's when the fall stuff starts coming out. So, you know, technically, the higher quality stuff on DVD starts coming out.
Right.
During when there's nothing really in theaters. So it's a good excuse to stay in.
Yeah, it is. And there are some good releases out these next few months. I noticed that when I went through the release schedule. And you're right. If you look at the release schedule in the theater. It's slim pickings, so I'm not sure where the box office is going to be the next few months, but before Watchmen.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned Watchmen, in that Watchmen is going to be, I think, a fascinating thing to watch. I mean, obviously, just, you know, in and of itself, the drama of getting that film into theaters.
Mm-hmm.
But Zack Snyder, who is truly one of the, you know, might be... You know, I've said he's kind of the George, when it comes to his action, he's kind of the George Miller of the 21st century. But more than that, he's kind of the first director truly plugged into multimedia of the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in that he came of age of, you know, technology and uses technology. He's not one of these, even a director like Fincher or Christopher Nolan, if you will, you know, they came of age in the 90s when there was still film, if you will. But
right.
Snyder, you know, his first film was Dawn of the Dead in 2004. So he truly is of the 21st century. And it's interesting with Watchmen is that they're going to be releasing a couple of straight-to-DVD features, if you will, relating to Watchmen, you know, stuff that they could not put in the film, but they kind of went off on their own and did them anyways as kind of, you know, ways of not wanting to leave out stuff from the graphic novel. It's also a way of cross-promoting the theatrical release, and it's another way of getting the word out there to even non-fanboys, if you will.
Right.
So I think that's kind of a fascinating story.
Anchor Bay Entertainment has two releases we're spotlighting this month, one of which came out January 20th, this week, Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Poole is Here. This is an interesting movie, an independent movie, starring Luke Wilson. It's a PG kind of family-friendly movie from Mark Pellington. If anyone out there remembers any credits from Mark Pellington, Arlington Road. Think Arlington Road. Which is one of the most intense, stylish thrillers of the past 10 years, I think. I love Arlington Road.
Mothman Prophecies, which is another underrated thriller, just a truly underrated thriller, and a terrific pairing of Richard Gere and Laura Linney. It has a great, like Arlington Road, has a great twist, bleak ending. And this guy has done, you know, some real heavy, hardcore stuff. Even, you know, he's famous for his music videos. And one of his early, you know, one of his landmark music videos is for Pearl Jam's song Jeremy.
Right.
Which is just one of those, you know, great gut punch, you know, grunge era videos. It's just a remarkable video.
And he also did the U2 3D concert.
Yeah, he did the U2 3D concert, which is a terrific theater experience. And so, yeah, Henry Poole is here. Truly is a the antithesis to everything else on his filmography.
Yeah, it's like what we just said about David Fincher at the top of the show,
mm-hmm.
with Benjamin Button.
And has a wide awake performance by Luke Wilson, which is another, that's also the antithesis of most every performance by Luke Wilson, that he's wide awake.
It has a lot of extras on it. It has an audio commentary from Pellington and the writer Albert Torres. It's got a making of feature. It's got some music videos in there, including one that there was a contest on MySpace. I remember this, a theme song contest, and it's a video directed to that song. If you don't know what Henry Poole is Here is all about, no worries. We got the trailer for you right here.
I'm your neighbor from next door.
Henry Poole's life had hit rock bottom.
You having a party?
No parties.
I don't know if you're sad or angry or both.
You want me to tell you why I'm sad and angry?
So it is both.
Until the day...
Hey!
What are you doing?
Did you not see?
See what?
He found God.
And you can see right here and the beard.
In his own backyard.
All I see is a water stain from a lousy stucco job.
I can see how it could be interpreted as a face.
Oh, my God.
That's quite clear.
Now, he can't believe what he's seeing.
Hurry, get out, hurry. Oh, my God, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Hey! That look like a church back there? It's my house. All three of you are old enough to know better, and I'm especially disappointed in you.
This is a miracle.
So, now every holy roller within 100-mile radius lined up around the block to touch my stucco job. Holy.
Pauline, something else.
Actually, from this angle, it looks a little bit like you.
No, I think I might have even made it worse. Hey there, Millie. I'm Henry.
You don't talk, do you? Sometimes I don't like to talk either.
Sometimes things just happen because we choose for them to.
You actually believe that?
I chose to believe.
It's getting hotter, isn't it?
What's that?
To pretend this isn't happening.
Is it true that the guy in the red shirt just wants to be a better dancer?
Another film with a great soundtrack, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of great artists contribute to that. So Henry Poole is Here. It's available now. It's a good movie for the family. A movie that isn't suitable for the whole family came out earlier this month from Anchor Bay on the 6th. It's called The Alphabet Killer. This was a movie that was they opened in kind of specialty houses in the theaters to get some buzz generated on it. It's like a serial killer type film, of course, from the title. It's from Rob Schmidt, who directed Wrong Turn. He's very loved in the horror thriller genre. Stars Eliza Dushku in the lead. She plays a police detective trying to solve this case, and she's suffering a mental breakdown along the way. If this is the kind of genre you want, I'm sure you'll get a lot of satisfaction from it. Carrie Elwes is in it. Timothy Hutton is in it. He's coming back a little bit, that Timothy Hutton.
And Carrie Elwes has never left. So God bless Carrie Elwes.
Exactly. Audio commentary from the director and the producer, and the writer, producer, actor, Tom Malloy. So it's got two separate commentaries on it. It's got an A to Z on the making of it. It's got an alternative scene, That's The Alphabet Killer. It's in stores now. It's a good Friday night movie. What else we got to cover?
Well, let me ask you this, and because it is, It had your favorite actor of all time, also from Anchor Bay.
Yes.
Hill is out on DVD.
That's right. It is out on DVD. And my father was taking a camping trip this weekend, and he said, let me borrow that Righteous Kill. We're going to watch it in the cabin this weekend. So I gave it to him, and it's De Niro, it's Pacino. If you have to own everything either one of those guys do, then this is an essential purchase. It's got a commentary on it from the director, John Avnet.
Now, if you have to own everything by De Niro and Pacino, I'm just curious, does that include respectively Rockin' Bullwinkle and Bobby Deerfield?
It does, yeah, if you're a true fan.
Okay.
If you're a true fan, that's the test of your mettle.
That is. Why did I mention Bobby Deerfield? Because that's a Sidney Pollack film, so there is a reason to study that. I should have said Revolution.
If only it were available in this country.
Another reason why they hate us.
But Righteous Kill is available, and it's got big stars, big actors.
Ryan Dennehy, huffing and puffing. You got to love that.
Yeah. It's not a... it's one of those, if you saw it in the theaters and you want to know, does it play better at home? For me, it played the same. But, I was interested in the commentary, and I'm convinced that he does good commentaries, John Avnet. I'm convinced that he's a good director that hasn't had any luck with good projects.
Mm-hmm.
Because actors love him.
Yeah.
And he's obviously very good with actors and with thinking and studying through what he's doing and the story he's trying to tell. It just doesn't translate.
Copycat is a good example of him.
Right.
I guess you could say Copycat is the one you want to hold up to Righteous Kill, because here's an example of him doing a genre film with a lot of the same, probably some of the same tropes as Righteous Kill, and some of the same scenes and some of the same situations. But Copycat is a film that does deliver on what it's supposed to be. And actually,
right.
Not only does it deliver on what it's supposed to be, but gives you something extra in that both Sigourney Weaver and particularly Holly Hunter really elevate the material out of just genre claptrap.
Right. He is a good director, and he's in his own way, he's very versatile. I mean, probably the movie he's most known for is Fried Green Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Probably so. So, and that's a 180 from Copycat, certainly.
Mm-hmm. And in some respects, yes. In some respects, no.
Let me say, Friday the 13th, you're going to see a lot of Friday the 13th throughout the rest of this month and February, because obviously the remake is coming out, and in honor of that remake, Paramount is releasing the first three titles on disc, is it the first one only on Blu-ray?
Yes, the first one only on Blu-ray.
Yeah, and lots of special features on these discs. We're going to discuss them in detail in future shows in the next 2 weeks or so. And the third one's in 3D. It comes with 3D glasses, which is a great kind of novelty thing. And there's also a documentary from Anchor Bay that's coming out called His Name Was Jason. It's a very comprehensive documentary for any fans of the genre or that movie in particular. Everyone under the sun is interviewed for that thing. And you have a show. We both have shows concerning Friday the 13th coming up. Tell me a little bit about yours. First of all, when is it?
My show will be on February 3rd. That's a Tuesday. And my show is highlighting the home entertainment end. So it'll be highlighting the DVDs, the first three out on DVD, and tangentially the release of this His Name Was Jason DVD. And already booked for my show are David Grove, who wrote the definitive book on the making of Friday the 13th, called, aptly enough, The Making of Friday the 13th, The Legend of Camp Blood. And he probably had more interviews with more people related to the Friday the 13th, the original, and the series than anyone, rivaling Peter M. Brackey's Crystal Lake Tales.
Well, don't say that too fast. Because I have Peter and Bracky on my show, so.
Yeah, Peter and Bracky. I mean, yeah. these guys know each other.
let me go back on what I just said.
No, these guys. Well, let me clarify. I'm not trying to start any West Coast.
Feud,
East Coast.
Yeah.
These guys know each other, and both of their books actually, I believe, came out around the same time, if I'm not mistaken. And so they both. They are the two books you need when it comes to this.
Have you seen this Bracky book, though? This Crystal Lake Memories?
I know. I mean, his is really... I mean, that's the other thing. You know, David Grove's book is really kind of... It's sort of, almost you could say, academic in a certain... It's half,
right.
half academic, half, you know, oral history, kind of, you know, comprehensive history. Bracky is history, but also, I mean, it's a coffee table book.
It really is. I mean, they really did
art.
It up for Friday the 13th. Yeah,
it's a work of art. I mean, so both of these books, they are the Bibles for this. So that's a guess. David Grove on me that I have. You have Peter and Bracky. I will also have Tom Savini, makeup guru.
That's the big one. Jeez.
So Tom Savini, George Romero's films, you know. Dawn of the Dead and you know, Creepshow and Friday the 13th and Friday the 13th Part 4 and Maniac and, you know, so I have, you know, Savini, and also we're going to throw in a critic to kind of give us perspective of the 42nd Street Grindhouse era, and then we will be having Glenn Kinney on our show. So when you have Glenn Kinney on your show, it becomes a seat of your pants show.
Yeah, it's scarier than Friday the 13th. So
yeah,
that's going to be a great show. And tell us one more time where it's at and when it.
That'll be February 3rd. My show, Back by Midnight. That's a Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And so those are my guests, and I have other guests to be determined. So I don't think that's just it. So there'll be lots more. So
yeah.
And who are your guests so far for your show?
Our show is a remake. Yeah, we're highlighting the whole shebang, just the legacy of it and connection to the remake. Mm-hmm. That's on the 11th Wednesday, preceding the Friday the 13th opening of Friday the 13th remake. So far confirmed, actually, a lot of these interviews we perform now. Like we said, Peter Bracky, the star of the first one, Adrienne King, and she was like one of the most delightful guests we've ever talked to. Actually, just a genuine person. Ron Mielke, who plays Officer Dorf in the first one, that's the comic relief in the film there, and the writer, the screenwriter of the first Friday the 13th, Victor Miller, and we're in cahoots with several people from the remake and several people from other installments of the film, just haven't been finally confirmed yet, but we still have 2 weeks to get that done. That's the 11th at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on this show. So, We're not warring shows. We're extensions of one another. We support one another. So listen to both of our shows. It's going to be a good time.
We're like the Puffy and Biggie. We support each other on each other's albums.
Right. Without the bullets. Speaking of which, you saw Notorious and you loved it.
I did see Notorious. It is a very good film. It is a very, I think it did quite well, actually. And I think word of mouth will be good, hopefully, do well, have a life on DVD. The real star of the film is this deep star performance by Jamal Woodland, who is a budding hip-hop artist, but he auditioned for the film. And obviously he has the look and the vocal cadence of the Notorious B.I.G. down perfectly. But more than that, it is one of those rare performances. I mean, at moments you think you're seeing a ghost. He gets the contradictory nature of the character. He gets the charm, the menace, the talent, the bravado, all of it. It's a fully developed performance. Any veteran actor who saw this performance, I think, would be kind of shocked to find out this is his acting debut. I mean, it's a seasoned performance. It's a layered performance. It's really, really good. And of the supporting players, the real standout is Derek Luke, Antoine Fisher himself, doing a really nice textured performance as Sean Combs, and really gets the business savvy, as long as the loyalty and the concern that really went into the friendship there.
Right.
So it's a really fine film directed by George Tillman, who directed the wonderful ensemble family drama Soul Food back in 1987, and many other films since then. But this is a terrific film. And obviously a great soundtrack. It should be heard in a theater with the proper sound system. It's just a terrific film.
Okay.
All right.
So you got a movie review and as well as, you know, a lot of DVD reviews, you know, which to do for the month and the first couple of weeks of February. Some of these DVDs that we've spotlit here in the program, you can purchase some of them by clicking the icons on the home page. And Aaron will be back next month to go over some more DVD releases. Some exciting titles coming up.
Yep.
Buddy.
All right, my man.
Talk to you later. I'll probably call you in the next 5 minutes.
All right, I'll talk to you.
All right.
Good night, everyone.
This has been Movie Geeks United. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. Bye-bye.